I am Pastor Doug. I am not the pastor, but I have pastored here before, and I am glad if I have not met you, I want to introduce myself to you. Pastor Daniel asked me to speak several months ago, and so I told him as we got closer to this day, I said, I want you to be gone. You know, no, I have to teach Sunday school. I said, I want you to be gone. Take your lovely wife. They work so hard and tirelessly for the church. I said, take a Sunday off. And as he gets more and more used to the pastoring role, he's coming up on 2 years, he'll learn that it's valuable to take a Sunday off every once in a while. And so I send greetings from Pastor Daniel. And glad to have you with us here today. I'm really thankful to be able to share the word with you. Pastor's been going through the study on Exodus, so I'm going to use two verses out of Exodus as a kind of a jumping point. I'm really glad for his ministry in the word. I'm not often real critical of other churches or ministries because we're on the same team. My brother-in-law said, well, did you go out and inspect the competition? I said, listen, in the kingdom, there is no competition. We're all the body of Christ. So there's no competition. But I do think that ministers have an obligation to preach the Word of God. And now with this Bible app, all of our messages are on the Bible. And not only that, I can bring up, you know, wherever I am, I can see what all kinds of churches are doing. And I was noticing one church was, their whole ministry was just preaching off of movies. And I think, you know, we have a whole Bible here, you know, and I want to be a workman because the message I was looking at was, my message today is from Sermon Lessons from Finding Nemo. And I thought, so I didn't even watch Finding Nemo, but I have read the Bible a few times, so I better stay with that. Anyway, Daniel is a great worker in the Word of God, and you are blessed to sit under his ministry because he always digs in, always has something from the Word of God. And I want to just encourage you as you grow with him in what God wants to do. So we've been looking here in the book of Exodus, and he's now going through the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Commandments that basically are the vows of commitment to God. But I'm going to jump off from Exodus chapter 4 and then from Exodus chapter 28 and then talk about something entirely different. I want to talk about God filling your hands. I want to begin out of Exodus chapter 4. We'll go back for a while. When God was first talking to Moses about making him the deliverer and the emancipator of the people of God out of Egypt, this dialogue took place between Moses and God. You'll remember it. Moses said, what if they did not believe me or listen to me? And they say, the Lord's not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? I'd like to pause for a moment there. What is in your hand? Throughout the scriptures, God wants to know what's in your hand because he has put something in every one of your hands, and every one of you, regardless of your age, college groups, our high school, our young people, our retired group here, whatever your stage of life is, something is in your hand, and God will always ask you this, what's in your hand? What can you do? And so Moses said, well, it's a staff. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground, and Moses threw it on the ground. It became a snake. He ran from it. And the Lord said to him, reach out to your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake. It turned back into a staff in his hand. And then the Lord said this. This, said the Lord, is so they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. In other words, Moses, I'm going to use what is in your hand. So time goes on. They're delivered out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. God makes the Ten Commandments. The order of covenant is beginning to take shape under the Mosaic covenant at this time. And God wants this priesthood. So we'll be getting into this probably, Pastor, we'll be talking about it. They built this tabernacle. It was the tent of meeting. It was the place that they met with God. They brought the animal sacrifices and all of that. But they had priests. They had Aaron, the high priest, and they had his sons were the priests. And these priests were to represent God to the people and the people to God. Well, in Exodus 28, when they were going to anoint these priests, notice what it says here in Exodus 28:41. He says, after you put these clothes on your brother Aaron and his sons, these were the priests, anoint them and ordain them. And then it says this phrase, and you'll see it in almost all translations, will say, consecrate them so they may serve me as priests. And we have this word consecrate. We think of the word consecrate to separate or to set apart. But more than that, the word consecrate literally means fill their hands. So God was saying this, you're going to have priests that are going to represent you to me. Fill their hands. They must have something in their hands. Consecrate them means fill their hands. God wants to fill our hands. Now, Moses had this staff, and these priests had their hands filled. And this morning I'm going to take you on a little journey. I'm going to talk about three things, three simple things. I could give you 7, 10, 50, or whatever. I'm going to give you three simple things this morning. They are examples of people that had something in their hand, and you'll notice the phrase hand in all of the illustrations I give you. But before I do that, I want to take you to the New Testament for two verses. In Ephesians chapter 4, Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? Notice this, to equip his people for works of service, or literally to fill their hands. That's why the apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teacher ministries are given, to equip or fill the hands of the body of Christ, that we may be built up till we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, till we become mature, attain to the full measure of Christ. Another verse is 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Where Peter says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So God has put and wants to put into each of your hands an ability, a gifting, if you will, an aptitude, something in your hand whereby he can use you to touch other people. Thus, that's why the priests were going to be having their hands filled, consecrated, and that's why Moses was asked by God, what is in your hand? So, this morning I'm going to talk to you about three examples of people who had something in their hand. And more than that, I'm going to talk about what it represents to us. I could do a historical study on it, but it wouldn't value us as much as understanding the picture that God paints for us. And the Bible is full of these wonderful pictures. When Paul wrote the New Testament, he would refer to the Old Testament often and say, these are pictures, these are analogies, these are illustrations, these are anecdotes for us to see what Jesus is trying to say to us. So the first one I want to talk to you is about Jonathan. And I'd like to say to you that Jonathan was equipped for bright eyes. Now, a decree had gone out as the Israelites were fighting from Jonathan's father Saul that nobody was to eat. They were to fast and they were to fight and they were going to fight the enemies. And there's a long story short, it's in 1 Samuel. Jonathan doesn't know about this order. And the men had been fighting and Jonathan came upon honey. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 14. So here's the first of the three examples. Jonathan had not heard that his father had bound the people with an oath. He reached out the end of the staff, now notice, that was in his hand, and he dipped it into the honeycomb. He raised his hand to his mouth, and his eyes brightened. What a little story. What was in his hand was the staff, and he put it in the honeycomb. He ate it, and his eyes were bright. Now, probably that meant he received strength. He was physically enlightened. He was physically boosted. He had an energy rush or whatever. But more than that, this is a wonderful picture of what God puts into our hand to give us revelation. And what I'm going to share with you in the next few moments is of paramount importance. This is strategically important to all of your life. Bright eyes represent enlightenment, revelation, or insight, or illumination. We live in a world that is full of information. Not all of it is true information. Today, our culture, our world, our country, your friends, your family, my friends, my family, our neighbors are affected by all the information around us. And a lot of people's illumination or revelation or insight into the world comes from CNN, Fox News, social media, educators, universities, some other kind of social media that is penetrating their mind, talking among friends, and most people's perception of what's happening in the world, their illumination comes from that. In fact, I don't have my phone up here. I would have used John as an illustration. By the way, happy anniversary, John and Amanda. Great to see you out here today. We won't tell everybody how many decades you've been married, but we congratulate you on that. And happy birthday, Brandon. Leading worship on your birthday. That's awesome. I got to preach on my birthday a couple of times. Happy birthday. In all my life, they never asked me to lead worship on my birthday. I don't know why. So anyway, when I was talking with John, and we were talking about fantasy football drafts, I said, so did you get any fantasy magazines to know what's going on and what players? He said, all my illumination comes from this. He holds up a phone. Well, I thought about that. And you know, that's a whole bunch of truth to how the world's illumination on everything comes from. It comes from Google. It comes from their phone. It comes from this information. It comes from somebody wrote it. Somebody posted it. It comes from hearsay. It comes from Yelp. It comes from somebody's experience. It comes from somebody else's thing. My wife had knee surgery. I'm so happy she's making progress. Thank you for all of you that are praying for her. She's up and about and making progress daily. But in order to get better, she joined a support group of 5,000 people with knee replacement surgery. Oh, so now at night I get to hear number 3,242. He had a bad experience. Look at this. And she tells me the story about this. I go, please, please. You know, 5,000 friends on knee replacement surgery is too much for me. I know it's too much information. But a lot of people's entirety of their information, how they view life, how they view politics, how they view the world, how they view North Korea, how they view Charlottesville, how they view this and that, everything is shaped by their illumination or revelation that they get from other sources. But if you want to have bright eyes, I want to show you this. God puts into your hand the Word of God. If your life view, your worldview, your career, your marriage, your children, your aspirations is shaped out of the Word of God rather than anything else, you will find success in life and you will have bright eyes. You know, a lot of people are overdosed on drugs. They have dull eyes. They're glazed eyes. They don't have bright eyes. You know, back in the 60s, they would sing this song, you know, she's not there because, you know, she's not there. You know what I'm saying? They're not there, right? They didn't have bright eyes. If you want to have bright eyes and revelation and understanding, you need the Word of God. So the Word of God is what gives us spiritual revelation. Now, Jonathan dipped his staff into the honeycomb. Listen to these great verses. You should memorize and put them in your heart. Put them in your phone to remind you of it. Psalm 19:7. Listen, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes, making your eyes bright. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. All of them are righteous. And now listen, how much do I value the Word? How much should you value the Word? They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, honey from the honeycomb. Back in 1 Samuel, Jonathan put what was in his hand into the honeycomb, and his eyes were enlightened. The psalmist said that honeycomb is right there, the Word of God. You and I can put our hand into the Word of God, and it will be sweeter than honeycomb, and it will be more valuable than pure gold, and we will have revelation, and we will have insight to know what's going on in the world. Church, that's what we need. In our day in which there's so much chaos going on, and so much uncertainty going on, it's magnified because of the access of information, true or wrong, right or wrong, true or false. The access of information that people are imbibing on has caused a whole world of explosion of feelings, emotions, ideas, theories, and things. But the church has got to be rooted in the Word. My worldview is shaped not by what's happening in North Korea or the political scene of the United States. My illumination and revelation is rooted in the Word of God. Because you've got to remember this, church, none of this catches God off guard. God is on the throne. He has a plan. As Steve read at the beginning of the service, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God has a plan. He knows what's going on. Let your revelation, let your insight, let your revelation, insight, and illumination be the Word of God. Now, you can gather information. You can have discussions from other things. But listen, if your worldview is shaped by anything other than the Word, you will probably be following a fable, a lie. So that's Jonathan, bright eyes. Let me talk about David. David was equipped for victory. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Don't have to read the whole entirety of 1 Samuel 17. But 1 Samuel 17 describes the battle of the young boy who went off against the great giant, where all of Israel was afraid, quaking in fear of this giant. David said, I'll take on the giant. And make this the real short, I'll just read two of the verses out of 1 Samuel 17. I'm assuming most of you know the whole story. If you don't, go afterwards and read 1 Samuel 17. So David said, I'll go after him, fight this Goliath. So Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over his tunic. He tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he said, I cannot go in these because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff that was in his hand. He chose five smooth stones from the stream. He put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag. And with the sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. We know what happened. He threw the rock. He killed the Goliath. He cut off his head, and victory was assured. But there's several things in this story. David had to come to a realization that he couldn't go to battle in Saul's armor. He couldn't do it the way Saul would do it. He couldn't do it the way someone else would do it. He had to find out what is in his hand. What was in his hand? You and I need to find out what has God called us to do. Don't try and emulate or do something the way someone else has done it. Or try and do it what God's called them to do. If God's not called you to do it, you will fall on your face. We've got to find out, church, individually, all of us need to find out what's God put in my hand. Because when I tie into what God's put in my hand, I have victory. When I talk about victory, I'm talking about a victory that overcomes the world. I'm talking about a victory to stand through life and through everything that's going on around us. When Jesus said the winds come and the rains come and the floods come, but the house built on the rock will stand, I'm talking about having a house that stands. That's what being victorious means. And in victory, we find that God uses what he puts in our hand and not expecting us to use somebody else's gifting. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons we have divine power to demolish strongholds. All right, let's talk about it. Weapons. Church, we cannot fight like the world fights. We cannot wage war like the world wages war. We're the church. We are Christians. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We have a higher and a stronger God. We, as we sang this morning, our God is stronger, our God is greater. You know, I'm not going to get into debates about Second Amendment and guns and all that, but you know, it's disturbing when I see now that Texas is now going to say, pass a law that you can have open and carry swords and big knives. Can you imagine going over to your local Walmart with your big sword now and having sabers and just carrying around your sword? What are you going to do with that? Someone with a gun is going to be like Indiana Jones and just shoot you. So, if we think our waging of warfare is going to be through the way the world wages war, we're going to lose. We are going to lose. Christians have got to know that we are victorious because of spiritual weaponry, of meekness and prayer and loving God and speaking truth and living in truth and holding up the Word of God and recognizing that we aren't afraid of those that can kill the body, but we fear Him who's able to kill not just the body, but also deals with the judgment of the soul. That's what Jesus said. Don't fear those that are able to kill the body. Paul said, I am already crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself a ransom for me. He said, for me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he was not afraid of dying. His weapons were far beyond the physical weapons. When they came to take Jesus and arrest him, Peter drew out a sword. Jesus said, I'll put away the sword. We don't need that sword. If I wanted, I could call a legion of angels to help deliver me. God has a plan, church, and you are in His plan. His church is in our plan. Living Way churches, this local church is in His plan. We are in the hand of Almighty God, and the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not like the wages of the world. Listen, I love this verse in the weapons of the world. 1 John 5:4. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our what? Faith. What is the victory that overcomes the world? Faith. This is the ultimate weapon we have. I believe in Jesus Christ. When Paul said that, he said, because I believe in Jesus Christ, the world is crucified to me and I am to the world, because I'm a believer. Peace be upon all the Israel of God who are walking in this law of the new creation in Galatians 6, it says. This same verse in the Message says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. It's our faith. Unity brings blessing, as the Sunday school lesson was today. Unity is very vitally important to the church. Unity of the church, of all churches, is very, very important, of all believers. But the thing that brings victory, ultimate victory, is faith. When you go back and look at 2,000 years of church history, there were many people that were martyred. The church came under great persecution, but they never cast away their faith. Hebrews says, don't cast away your confidence. It has great, great recompense of reward. You have need of patience after you've done the will of God. You keep strong until you receive the promise. Faith. Inconquerable, insurmountable faith, we believe. Who is he that will overcome? Who is he that will have victory? Faith. There's no way physically possible David could complete destroy this giant unless there was a miracle from God. But he believed. So much so that he said, you come after me with your big spear and your big armor and your big body, but believe me, God's going to deliver you into my hand. How did he say that? Because he had faith in the Lord God Almighty. It's wonderful. I pastored for 40 years here. I never had a clock looking at me like this. It's terrible. All right, now number three. But, you know, new pastor, new ideas. Number three. Joseph was equipped to bring blessing to others. This is my third example of something in your hand. Jonathan had a staff in his hand. Brought honeycomb enlightenment. David had a staff and sling in his hand. Brought victory. Let's look at Joseph. Genesis 39. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He did not know what he had except for the bread with which he ate. Potiphar blesses Joseph, takes him into his house, and commits everything to his hand. But because Joseph knew what was in his hand was from God, God blessed Joseph and Potiphar. I'll make this statement. God will allow others to bless you so that you can be a blessing. When God equips you with something and puts something in your hand, it's to bless you and through you to bless other people. Your life is a blessing to others. Your life might be a blessing to your children, to your grandchildren, to your neighbors, your friends, to your sons, your daughters, but your life is a blessing to someone. Out in the desert where I live, I recently started golfing with an older guy. Well, they're all older guys. So I'm golfing with another older guy, and he had cancer surgery, and I showed up in the hospital. But that's what I do anyway. And I visited him in the hospital in Palm Springs. He was surprised to see me. He said, I knew from the first time I met you that God sent you to be a blessing in my life. I thought that was cool, to be a blessing in my life. God wants to send you as a blessing to someone's life. If God can get his blessing through you, God can get his blessing to you. If you're just going to be a dam and just hoard everything for yourself and treasure up everything for yourself, I think the blessing is limited. But if you can be a channel through which God can bless you to bless others, blessing is on your way. God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. The same could be true of the lesson we found with Jacob and Laban. Remember Jacob? He worked for Uncle Laban. And in Genesis 30, verse 27, Laban said, "If you please, I have learned through divine inquiry that God has blessed me because of you." There's this principle that God used through Old and New Testament that the believer, God's child, God's servant, would be so blessed that everybody around them would be blessed. Joseph would be blessed, thus Potiphar would be blessed. Later, all of Egypt would be blessed through Joseph. Jacob was blessed, thus Laban was blessed. I'm a believer in this, that in your neighborhood, or in your job, or in your school, and some of you, your job is the school, or wherever you might be, that God wants to bless you so that others around you can be blessed. He wants to bless your company that you work for. I believe this with all my heart, that if you go in and you are a faithful worker, a hard worker, committed worker, wherever you are, and these young people, you'll get a hold of this, be a man and woman of God, go in and work, God will bless you and your company will be blessed. When I was in Bible college, I worked for a janitor company, and I went in, I was going to Bible college, I would go to Bible college in the day, and I would be a janitor from like 6 to 2 or 1 in the night, and then go to school in the morning. But I wanted to get a raise. So I went into the owner of the company. I said, "If you give me this raise, you can fire 3 other people because I will work so hard that you won't have to hire these. I can do what 4 of us are doing because they're not working hard." I didn't know then that those guys probably didn't like that, but it was the truth. And I was just being honest with them. I said, "And God will bless you and this company for blessing me." So he gave me a raise. He gave me a substantial raise. I think it went up to like $1.65 then. So, you know, I was rolling then. But anyway, and I did that. And God blessed me, but God blessed them. And God blessed that company. Over and over again, you can hear the stories of people who started out in a low position, and because they were faithful and they worked their way up, God blessed them, and God blessed them, increased them. I know that's happened with Krista and her role and her company. And I saw a wonderful picture of Jake there. Oh, Jake got promotion to manager. Well, after how many years were you working? 3.5 years. Now he's managing the boys' club and girls' club here. Is it in Poway? Yeah. And here's the thing. If you will honor God and be a blessing to others, God will bless you and bless those around you. This can happen over and over and over again. You will be a blessing to someone. God can bless those you work for. God can bless those you serve. And he wants to equip you to be a blessing to those you work for and with. Here's the question. Are we willing to take the staff, the ability that God gives us, what he puts in our hand, the ability that God gives to give revelation and victory, are we able to do that and bring blessing to others? This is the question we have to ask. We have to believe that beyond our education, beyond our preparation, beyond our skill set, that there's an anointing, a blessing, an ability that God puts in our hands for being his child that he can use to bless others and, in so doing, to bless us. Now, I'm going to conclude with one passage of Scripture from Colossians because this is my prayer for the church. This is my constant prayer for all of you. And I'm privileged. Whenever Pastor needs me to come and speak, I'm privileged and honored to do that. But I'm privileged just to come and sit and fellowship with all of you and be in the worship. I love the church. I love this church. And this is my prayer for all of you. And I'd like you to take it to heart today as we get ready to conclude. Paul prayed this and said this to the Colossian church in his first chapter, verse 9. "Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works." That's a God view of the world. "We pray that you will live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over joy, over into joy, thanking the Father. The Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything, here's the bright eyes, in everything that is bright and beautiful that He has for us. Church, guests, first time here, receive Jesus. Your faith will overcome the world. You'll have bright eyes. You'll be able to tap into everything that is bright and beautiful for your life, for your future. All you young people, there's a bright and beautiful future. You hold on to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is your priority. All of you seniors, forerunners, you have a bright and beautiful future. We all have a bright and beautiful eternity awaiting us. But right now, God has blessed us so we can be a blessing to others. Would you stand with me, please? And we're going to pray. Thank you for your attention to the Word of God. It's always a joy to bring the Word of God here because I know you love the Word. Would you like to be blessed and have those around you in your family and business be blessed? Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like to go to work tomorrow and have Uncle Laban come and say, God showed me I'm blessed here in this company because of your work, because God's with you. Wouldn't that be a cool testimony? It's true. How about your neighbors? How about your friends? Isn't it kind of neat when, like this man looked up at me from his hospital bed. He said, I knew when I first met you, God brought you to be a blessing in my life. Don't you want someone to say that about you? Revelation, victory, blessing. Say those three words. Revelation, victory, blessing. That's my message today. Lord, I pray for this church. Give them revelation and insight and worldview shaped by the greatest of honeycombs, your word. Let us not be shaped by the world's standards or the information age in which we live, but let us be shaped by your word that endures for heaven forever. For you said, heaven and earth will pass away, but your words are going to remain. Give victory to everyone in this church that believe in Jesus Christ, and help them to go out every day saying, I believe in Jesus and I'll walk in victory. And now, Lord, I pray, bless them. Let blessing come upon them and overtake them. And bless those that they work for. Bless those they serve. Bless those they touch. Bless those they reach out to. Bless their family members. Bless those that they witness to that are not Christians. Draw them to yourself. Lord, let these three things be in our hands today. In Jesus' name.